welcome to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am Butcher Amateur Catechist Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Tuesday, April 19th in the year of our Lord 2022, collect of the day for Tuesday of Easter week. O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that we, who have been raised with him, may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. So, I'm drinking my blonde roast coffee, black this morning. Nice and bracing. I took the day off yesterday. I work today and back at the grind. So we're on page 65 of the Catechism. We've entered a new part. So part 3, Belonging to Christ, the Lord's Prayer and the Christian Life. The Gospel is God's invitation to know him, to love and serve him as members of his family, and to be transformed into his likeness. God continually calls his people to grow deeper in our relationship with him. Thus, for Christians, knowing and loving God is life's central activity, and a primary way we do this is through prayer. Prayer is the way God has given us to listen and respond to him. The most important prayer in the Christian faith is the Lord's Prayer, so named because the prayer of the Lord Jesus himself, the Son of the Father, taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, 9-13 and Luke 11, 2-4. It is vital for our lives as present-day disciples. It teaches us to know God as our Father, to submit our wills to his will, and to live in this world as citizens of God's kingdom, even as we await with hope the fullness of its coming. For this reason, it has been included as a prayer in both public and private Christian worship from the very beginning of the Church's life. However, the Lord's Prayer is also a pattern by which we shape all our prayers. It teaches us different kinds of prayer, and a mature life of prayer will include them all. Praise of God's glory, intercession for the needs of others, petition for our needs and protection, and confession of our sin. While the Lord's Prayer does not include all types of prayer, it establishes a central core of prayers for our Christian life in Christ. It teaches us to pray and is therefore an essential aspect of Christian catechesis. Our primary resource for prayer as Anglicans, in addition to the Scriptures, is the Book of Common Prayer. The Lord's Prayer has a central place in the prayer book worship and is included in every service. However, beyond providing us forms of prayer, the Book of Common Prayer also gives us a rule of prayer, a way of ordering our lives around a daily pattern of prayer and the reading of Scripture. A well-rounded rule will include the different types of prayer mentioned above in both worship and public worship and private devotion. While the form of rule may vary from person to person, the purpose of every rule is to help us grow in prayer. As our capacity to pray increases, so our daily habits of prayer broaden to encompass the whole scope of our lives. And, little by little, we begin to understand what St. Paul means to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. For that is the goal of our life of prayer in Christ. A prayer for spiritual direction and protection. Heavenly Father, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Direct our heartfelt desires and defend us against our enemy, that we may pray according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. The new subsection is concerning prayer, question 154, what is prayer? Answer. Prayer is turning my heart toward God to listen and to speak with him. So, very simple, straightforward. What is prayer? Question 154, what is prayer? Answer. Prayer is turning my heart toward God to listen and speak with him. All right, so scriptural references, of which there could be tons, but these are the ones chosen. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh shall sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Their early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blesses the one who trusts in you. Psalm 123. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, for everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And the final scripture reference is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, question 154. What is prayer? Very simple. What's the basic thing? What is this prayer? Thing called prayer. Prayer is turning my heart toward God to listen and speak with Him. The most important listening we should be doing is reading scripture. There is God's word written. That should form the basis of all of our understanding of any Christian doctrine, theology, anything comes out of understanding scripture properly as having been breathed out by God. So listening, our primary means of listening should be reading and hearing scripture, right? One of the ancient practices is reading aloud. And I highly encourage it when you're reading scripture to read aloud, to hear those words, to speak it to yourself. Not just that internal voice, but that external voice, to speak it out, to hear those words, to, in a sense, preach it to yourself. Right? You're in your private setting, wherever you are, you know, you can be in a soft voice, or it can be in a loud voice, depending on your context, right? Speak it. Listen to those words as they come out. That's the primary means of listening to God. and then speak with Him as, you know, so what clearly enunciated in Jesus as He speaks to the Father, right? In John 17, this, which is known as the high priestly prayer, right? He's lifting all of the believers up to God, talking about His going unto glory, which is the cross, the glory of the cross, which we've just celebrated on Easter in the Western Church, and the Eastern Church is this coming Sunday. So, it's a week of Easters. So here's Cyril of Alexandria on the high priestly prayer. It's principally about his role as that mediator, but I think it's a good discussion overall of what prayer is, the higher calling that prayer is, of the petitionary nature, of the fundamental nature of prayer. If Jesus himself is praying on the cross, or praying for us. So Cyril of Alexandria, that nothing which is spoken of as belonging to the Father will be excluded from all the kingdom of the Son, for both alike rule over all. He once more mediates as man, the reconciler and mediator of God and man, and being our truly great and all-holy high priest, by his own prayers he appeases the anger of his Father, sacrificing himself for us. For he is the sacrifice, and is himself our priest, himself our mediator, himself a blameless victim, the true lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. The Mosaic ceremonial was then, as it were, a type and transparent shadowing forth of the mediation of Christ, shown forth in the last times, and the high priest of the law indicated in his own person that priest who is above the law. For the things of the law are shadows of the truth. For the inspired Moses, and with him the eminent Aaron, continually intervened between God and the assembly of the people, at one time deprecating God's anger for the transgressions of the people of Israel, and inviting mercy from above upon them when they were faint, at another praying and blessing the people, and ordering sacrifices according to the law, and offerings of gifts besides in their appointed order, sometimes for sins, and sometimes thank offerings for the benefits they felt they had received from God. But Christ, who manifested himself in the last times above the types and figures of the law, at once our high priest and mediator, prays for us as man, and at the same time is ever ready to cooperate with God the Father, who distributes good gifts to those who are worthy. Paul showed us this most plainly in the words, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He then prays for us as man, and also unites in distributing good gifts to us as God. For he, being a holy high priest, blameless and undefiled, offered himself not only for his own weakness, as was the custom of those to whom was allotted the duty of sacrificing according to law, but rather for the salvation of our souls, and that once for all, because of our sin, and is an advocate for us, and he is the propitiation for our sins, as John saith, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. But perhaps someone wishing to controvert that we have said, we will exclaim, is not what this disciple says quite contrary to the Savior's word? For our Lord Jesus Christ expressly in these words repudiates the necessity of praying to God for the whole world, while the wise John affirmed quite the contrary. For he maintains that the Savior will be the advocate and propitiation, not merely for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. It is not hard to find the solution to this difficulty, or to say how the disciple may be seen to be in accord with his master's saying. For the blessed John, as he was a Jew and of the Jews, that some might not perhaps think that our Lord was merely an advocate for the Israelites, and not in any sense for the rest of the nations scattered over the whole world, though destined to distinguish themselves by faith on him and to be shortly called to knowledge of salvation through Christ, is perforce impelled to declare that our Lord will not only be the propitiation for the race of Israel, but also for the whole world, that is, those of every nation and kindred, who shall be called through faith to righteousness and sanctification. Our Lord Christ distinguishes from his own those who are otherwise minded, and who have chosen to insult him by stubborn disobedience, and referring to those who are prone to listen to his divine commands, and who have already submitted, as it were, the necks of the heart, and well nigh bound round them the yoke of submission to God, said that for them only it was most fitting for him to pray. For to those only, whose mediator and high priest he is, he thought it meet to bring the blessings of his mediation, to those, I mean, who, he says, were given to himself, but were the fathers, say there is no other way of fellowship with God, save by the Son. And he will himself teach you this in the words, "No one cometh unto the Father but by me." For observe how the Father, whom he gave to his Son, those of whom he speaks, won them over to himself. And the apostle, who was so conversant with the sacred writings, knowing this well, says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." For when Christ acted as mediator and received those who came to him by faith and brought them aright through himself to the Father, the world was reconciled to God. Therefore also the prophet Isaiah taught us in anticipation to choose peace with God in Christ. Let us have peace with him. Let us who are in the way have peace. For if we banish from our hearts whatsoever estrangeth us from the love of Christ, I mean the base lasciviousness which hankers after sinful pleasure and is ever inclined to the delights of the world, and is beside the mother and the nurse of all vice, and leads us wildly astray, we shall become united in fellowship with Christ, and shall make peace with God, being joined to the Father himself through the Son, inasmuch as we receive in ourselves the Word that was begotten of him, and cry out in the Spirit, "Abba, Father." Here ends the reading. notice the continual drawing out of the mediation, propitiation in prayer. Christ is mediating for us in this prayer. So as we talk about prayer, we must remember that even the greatest petition, this high priestly prayer, is a prayer from the God-man, Jesus, to God the Father. He is once again modeling for us our behavior. Pray to God. Get on the knees of your heart and pray to God through Christ. Christ opens the way for us. And now I'm also going to turn to the homily or sermon concerning prayer in the Book of Homilies. There is nothing in all man's life, well beloved in our Savior Christ, so needful to be spoken of and daily to be called upon as hearty, zealous, and devout prayer. The necessity whereof is so great that without it nothing may be well attained at God's hand. For as the Apostle James saith, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, and proceedeth from the Father of lights, James 1:17, who is also said to be the rich and liberal towards all them that are called upon him, not because he either will not or cannot give without asking, but because he hath appointed prayer as an ordinary means between him and us, Romans 10:12. There is no doubt that he will always knoweth what we have need of, and is always most ready to give abundance of these things that we lack. Matthew 6:32. Yet, to the intent we might acknowledge him to be the giver of all good things, and behave ourselves thankfully towards him in that behalf, loving, fearing, and worshiping him sincerely and truly as we ought to do, he hath profitably and wisely ordained that in time of necessity we should humble ourselves in his sight, pour out the secrets of our heart before him, and crave help at his hands with continual, earnest, and devout prayer. Here ends the reading. It's on page 293 of the Book of Homilies that Schoda House put out a few years ago. I do love that phraseology. There is no doubt that he always knoweth what we have need of, and is always most ready to give abundance of those things that we lack. Prayer is the primary means by which he has given us to ask of him, which is to acknowledge him as the giver of good gifts. Again, looking back at Jesus saying, who, if their son asks for a bread, gives him a stone. Knowing that the Father of all, the giver of all good things, knows what you need. So I think it's also a good thing that if we ask for a serpent, he doesn't give it to us. I think of the prayer of John Chrysostom, it's one of the optional prayers at the end of the morning office. I always choose it. So prayer of St. John Chrysostom. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. Granting our desires and petitions as may be best for us. Acknowledging that we may not know what is best for us. So, and that's the trust you can place in prayer, which is knowing that you're praying to the good and perfect Father through the good and perfect Son for good gifts. And he's not going to give you a serpent, even if you ask for a serpent. You may not know that it's a serpent, right? You may be asking for a promotion or for some other thing, and yet God knows that that is not good for you for whatever reason. He knows that maybe riches are not good for you and will destroy your soul. Lord knows you can look at any number of famous people, things who have ran into wealth and has just utterly destroyed their lives. And you think to yourself, maybe fame isn't all that it's cracked up to be, because it destroys you. So we pray then that God will protect us from our own stupidity, our own avarice, our own desires for what we think are good things sometimes. Many times we think they're good things and they turn out to not actually be good things. And we thank God for those things which he does not give us, because they are not good for us. So, question 154, what is prayer? Prayer is turning my heart toward God to listen and to speak with him. So then, we will close it out. I already kind of did close it out with the prayer of St. Chrysostom, but I think I'll just do it again. So thank you for listening. I've tried to arrange, now that I'm sort of back at the office, took me a couple weeks to, we've been doing back, what, 3 weeks? Yeah, he's kind of, you know, breaking the rust off, spraying some oil on the greasy joints, whatever metaphor you want to put in there. Shaking it all out. I've set up a new schedule for myself, and I should be able to record twice a week again. Most weeks, it looks like. Might be tricky, so there might be some weeks where there's only one. Depends on whether I'm able to squeeze in some prep time other places. So again, thank you for listening. Feedback is amateuranglican@gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. Here is the prayer of St. John Chrysostom. Almighty God, you've given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and the age to come, life everlasting. Amen.